greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you again from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Lord Savior. I am God manifest in flesh, in time, and yet I am giving an example of the perfect life, a life lived in union with the Father, a life that was an expression in this earth realm of what it means to be I am. And Jesus, being the second Adam, showed us basically what your inheritance is in Christ. Because what was lost in the first Adam was restored in the second Adam. Our inheritance is oneness with the Spirit of God. And in that oneness with the Spirit of God, we step into I am. I talked a little bit about it on the last audio about your flesh and your spirit being your servants. It's for me, obviously all of this stuff is a progression in that we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and God continues to manifest himself in us. And you know, it's curious to me, actually I had somebody ask me, a few people actually have been kind of curious about the fact of, especially those that are familiar with the roads in Sri Lanka, how in the world we do these drive time messages. But the thing is that my even as I shift into this gear when I drive, the soul and the spirit and the flesh are doing one thing, and the spirit man's doing something else. So I'm, even though my body's traveling around and doing this thing with the car, you just open up your spirit and let what God's doing come forward. So it's pretty cool, actually, just the way that God flows through his people when you're not trying to figure it out, when you're not trying to make things work, when you're not trying to, that is the mantra of organized religion, is trying to do it through the soul, trying to do it through that which makes sense to the natural, carnal, fallen mind of man. And the problem is that it doesn't work. The problem is that you trying to make something work in your own thinking, back to the Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16. God's so nice, he said it twice. Said it twice just so you get it. There's a way that seems right to your soul, to the mind of man. That same mind of man that Peter, when Jesus was talking to him and saying, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, all of that, and Peter, the very same Peter who had that revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, shifted straight back into his soul man, soul thinking, and said, Lord, forbid that this be. Why? He was thinking like a man. And what did Jesus have to do? And what did he have to say? Get behind me, Satan. Thou does not have, you're not thinking about the things of God, but the things of men. The things of men. So, the things of men are the things of flesh. The things of men are the things of your carnal mind, of your soul man. Now, that being said, there is a place for your soul and your flesh during your time here on earth. Because, obviously, you need your flesh body to be able to exist in this paradigm. Your flesh is the earth suit that allows you to move around in this world. If you didn't have your flesh body, you wouldn't be able to function in this dimension. You would instantly move into the dimension of spirit, which is much more real than this one, by the way, but you would not be in this one. So that's why all the demonic powers that are out there, and they work so hard to try to get access to and through your flesh, because they need a flesh host to carry them around in this place. So that being the case, you know, you realize that, okay, your body is a vehicle for carrying around that which is going on with you while you're here. Now, present your body as a living sacrifice is what the scriptures tell us. To beat your body, make it your slave. Basically, bring your flesh under subjection by the power of the Spirit of God. This is something that the Spirit of God gives you the ability to do. Where when God's Spirit indwells you, when the Spirit of God, when you've turned your heart, life, mind, being over to the Father, your volition, your will, your free intention has been turned in that direction of I am. And you correspondingly obey and line up your life with everything that He tells you to do, you now have power. You have incredible power to be able to live the life that He would desire that you would live, and to basically, now as it pertains to the flesh, to create in your physical being a place that the Spirit of God would enjoy to dwell. Your body is the temple of the living God. And because it's the temple of the living God, you can actually, because He chooses to dwell there, you can actually do something with it that makes it a nice spot. You know, just like if you were to buy a place, rent a place, you know, but you were to move into a new location, what do you do with it? Well, you maybe you paint it, maybe you put up some new curtains. Maybe whatever it is that you do with it, you basically create it to be as good of an environment as you can, so that you feel at home there. Well, the Spirit of God does the same thing with you. The Spirit of God does the same thing in your life, where what He will prompt you to make those changes in yourself that create an environment that He enjoys to be in. Because frankly, when you step into I am, you and Him are one. When you give yourself over to His Spirit. And this is why too, when people have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, it's very frustrating. Because they function now out of their soul and out of their soul thinking. And so when they start doing certain things because they're supposed to, because the soul mind of other men are telling them this is what you should be doing, it doesn't resonate with I am inside of them. So how does that work? So you will go to the building on Sunday and they say to you, you're not wearing your suit, brother. Or or something like that. Whatever. You didn't have a problem with it, but they did. And so, to conform to the system and to the expectations of men, next week, you go and you put on your suit. And you show up, and now they tell you, okay, now you're approved of because you've now fallen in line. But what did you do? You did what was expected of you through society. You did not what it is that was... You were fine before. All kinds of little things, all kinds of little ways that society will seek to let you know that you are not fulfilling their expectations, that you are not in line with what it is that they would have you to do. And the threat of ostracism, the threat of being thrown out, the threat of being put out as a lone wolf, the threat of being annihilated because you're not part of it. But aha, here's the thing. When you're marked for Christ, when you're marked for the Son of the Living God, you're already marked to be put out. Because John chapter 3, here is the verdict. Light has come into the world, and the world hates the light because they want the darkness because their deeds are evil. The world wants the darkness, does not want the light, i.e. does not want you if you're a child of light. The only degree to which they want to have anything to do with you is to the degree to which you can be used by them for the propagation of their system. So, how now do you relate there? Well, you're, as the Spirit of God has put it, in the world and not of the world. John chapter 17, words of Jesus. We are in the world but not of the world, but we're still here. So here's what happens. They put you out. They ostracize you. They don't want you. They try to kill you. Whatever it is that they try to do. And yet, because we look to Him, this Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith, the source of our life, our provision, our protection, and yet we continue. We survive. We thrive. When we should have been done, all of a sudden God turns a couple things one way, this way, that way, in our favor, and now all of a sudden, wait a second, we have something going for us that we never should have. We have opportunities coming our way that should not have come our way. We have, not because the world is working to keep those away from you. The world is working to keep that far from you. And yet, something happens. Something twists. Something turns. And now, there you are. So, we continue to exist in I Am. And as we do that, then we do what the Spirit of God tells us to do. We live in an entirely different system than theirs. We live in an entirely different way than them. Our provision, our protection, our life, our thought, our breath, every aspect of who we are in Christ Jesus flows from Him and not from them. Now, on the higher level, you know, they continue to work their way up in their system. And the higher up that they get, the more that they're actually aware of how far that they've gone in the other direction. But they can't break rank, because if they do, they're going to be cut off, and they don't want to face that, so they're afraid. But for us, for the child of God, you can relax. You don't have to make something work. You don't have to make something happen. You don't have to make a good move. What good move are you going to make? No. All you have to do is learn to exist in I Am. No past, no future. Learn that discipline of being ever present in Christ Jesus right now, doing that which the Spirit of God would have you to do. And as that happens, the rest of these things will become manifest for what they need to be. You line your life up with Christ. You know right now, in this moment, is your spirit directed towards Him? Or are you turning in another direction towards anything of the world? If at any given moment, right now, forget the next ones, right now, just right now where you are you directing towards Him? Are you seeking His will, His plan, His purpose, that which He has destined for you? Is that which is the core of who you are, what you seek? Right now. You can do it now. You can do it now. And if there's something that is not, just leave it where it is. Keep going. Now, we talked a little bit about the soul man and that voice in your head. This has been a constant progression for me, because for a long time I didn't realize that voice was not me. So that voice would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and I didn't realize that was not who I was. And you know, there's a lot of books, a ton of books out there that sort of talk to you about how you can try to rein that voice in, assuming that voice is you. I would venture to you that the vast majority of Christian quote-unquote books out there, because of the system that they're part of already, attributes that soul man to being you. And rather than teaching you how to bring that under subjection to I am, which is the real you, which is the eternal you, which is the ever-present being that is fused with the Spirit of God, the revelation and the fulfillment of the prayer of Christ Jesus in John 17, that they may be one in us, that I am, rather than you coming into that, what they do is they push you in the direction of your soul, and basically how to bargain with your soul, how to sort of strike a deal with your soul, but it's still your master, plagued by those thoughts. And then, you know, because the whole system that they're part of reinforces that. The whole system that they're part of reinforces the soul. Soulish thinking, soulish progression, soulish priorities, past and your future. Look, the whole... you know how much quote-unquote Christian theology is focused on the future, on all these things that are supposed to come, and what everybody's focused on and people are missing right now? I am. You know what? You can be focused on all these world global events and this war here, this war there. Look, you might walk outside and get hit by a car in 20 minutes. What difference did all of that make? Tell me, what difference did all of that make? You got it all figured out. You're worrying, you're fretting about some bomb somewhere. And at the close of it, you missed right now where you are. I am. You missed the chance to be right now, ever present in Christ. Because what? Your soul was in control. That mind in you was chattering away, and you were just sitting there listening to it. When I am is supposed to be your master, you were trying to make I am your servant and let your soul be your master. Let your mind be your master. No. The disciple of Christ has made that shift. The disciple of Christ shifts into that. Your flesh is servant to I am. Your soul, that mind in you, is servant to I am. So in order for you to be able to do that, you got to catch it. Oh, that mind is sneaky. It's sneaky. It's subtle. It will, what it will do is it'll try to come in the back door. It'll try to, look, you know when it's trying to get there, because it's talking. It's chattering. It is focusing on either past and things past, something future, something that's going on out there that, you know, projecting and all of that, or trying to get you into the externals of all that's going on right now, that you miss being ever present. So realize that that mind's not you. You can separate yourself from that. Have you ever prayed, or have you ever spent time before God and heard the sound of the beating of your own heart? Do you feel the heat of the sun on your skin when you're outside? Breeze that's blowing through the trees. Do you sense that? Do you feel that? You're missing it. You're missing where you are right now in Him, because you're so focused on all these other things going on around you that you're missing that which God is doing right now in you. Once you shift into I Am, you can remain in that state. You know, the soul and the flesh will continue to try, though. They're designed, they're wired to do that. But as you build up a discipline of understanding what they are and how they work, you know, 80% of this is things being brought into the light. As soon as something is brought into the light, it loses its power. As soon as a fungus is exposed to light, it starts to deteriorate. Why? Because it grows and thrives in darkness. As soon as it's exposed to light, it can't grow in that anymore. When you bring and drag these demonic things into the light, when you show them, anytime the ray of the light of the living God shines into any situation, it shows things for what they are. Once things are shown for what they are, anything of the side of the enemy loses its power, because then it's very easy. Once you have revealed it for what it is, then the lie can't go forth anymore. You just expose it for what it is, a lie. And then you move forward with truth. So, you know, too often what people end up doing is they give so much time and so much airplay to that which is not necessary, that which is a waste of their energy, a waste of their being. Get wrapped up in stuff that doesn't mean anything. Not that I'm much of an advocate for reflective thought, but since we are kind of discussing it a little bit, all right, think back to the last 20 years, last 15 years. All those things that you fretted and worried about and were perplexed about and all that stuff, what came to pass of that? Of all these fears that you had, what was the worst that could happen? All these things that you dreaded about. Yeah. So, you know, I remember the whole Y2K thing. Everybody's freaking out about all this stuff. You know, why is it that the end of the world is always 2 years away? 18 months away, 3 years away? Why is it always just in that not too distant future? Because, you know, frankly, if it was longer than that, if it was like 5 years away, it would be just too long. People would be like, okay, we still got time, let's not worry about it that much. They've sort of found this sweet spot to keep people in perpetual fear. And people go for it over and over and over again. I think people just like to be afraid. Because it's juicy. You know why? Because in the end, the mind, the soul, just like the flesh, it doesn't want to die. It fights to stay alive. And the thought of going into I am, the thought of being in I am, is a place where, because it's a place where the soul doesn't have power now. The soul now has become servant. And when the soul becomes servant, it's a step towards death. As long as it's in control, it can maybe control its own destiny. It can maybe keep from dying. So that's why it wants to cling to all of these, all of these things that are going on outside, and the end of the world is 2 years away. So, alas, it would be an interesting study sometime to see how many end of the world points there have been throughout history where people were like, that's it, that's when this is going to happen. How many antichrists have been slotted and vetted, and people have said, this guy's the antichrist, this guy's, you know, look, yes, be mildly aware of what's going on around you, but keep it in perspective. Keep it in check, just like your physical body. Be aware of it. Do some things to keep it in good working order, but remember that it is your servant. It is your slave. I am his master. You, in timeless time, fuse with Christ Jesus. You are Lord over your physical being. Same with your mental state. You in Christ Jesus are Lord over your soul. And possess ye your soul. And here's what you do, though. There's times where you definitely need to engage your soul man, your thinking man, to accomplish certain tasks, activities, things that need to be done. So just like you would with a servant or a slave, you say, okay, soul, now I am going to give you permission to speak. Here's the task at hand, and this is what I need you to do. So I'm going to engage you now in this task at hand and get to it. All the while, in that place of your spirit, watching. Don't let it get out of control. Don't let it start lording over you and trying to tell you all the... No, it... Perspective. There's a few useful things, useful tools, kind of over time that I've sort of developed for myself that kind of help me to keep certain things in perspective, certain things in check. You know, practically speaking, writing stuff down is a nice way to get stuff out of your head. I think too many people leave stuff in their head when it doesn't need to be there. And, maybe I need to do an audio or two on that. You guys can write in and let me know if that'd be something that'd be helpful. Faithmix@gmail.com is the way to get in touch with us. Yes. No, you know what? Hey, everything is all good in Christ Jesus. It really is. And, you know, right now, in this moment, where you are, everything is fine. Stop, breathe in, relax, be here now. And from that place, allow the Spirit of God to instruct you in how to go forward. In whatever it is. But you don't got to fret about the future. God's in control of that. And your past doesn't exist. There is no past. Be it good or bad, be it accomplishments or sorrows. So what? All of it doesn't exist. The only thing that you have is I am right now. And you are in that. So allow yourself to be in that. allow yourself to take up the inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus, which is oneness with Him. And enjoy. Enjoy life. Enjoy the journey. God is in control. He loves you, cares about you. We love you. We care about you because, hey, we're one in Him and He loves you. So, yeah, we love you too. Hey, so God bless you guys. Write us. You have to write us. Faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you soon. All right.